And if you got a Bible today, turn with us over to John chapter 10. And I hope you do have one with you. John chapter number 10 this morning. John chapter number 10. And we are going to begin reading in verse number 1. John chapter 10 and verse number 1. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep heareth his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Let's pray together today. Father, we bow before you today, and God, we want to give praise and honor to your holy name. And God, we know that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and that there's no name under heaven and earth that is greater than his name. And God, we just praise you for being a God of love and mercy and holiness. And God, we just want to worship you today. And God, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word as we look today at how we can hear from you. And God, I pray that we would be able to take some things from today that would help us to be a live a life that would be pleasing unto you. Lord, we love you and praise you today, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, much has been said about hearing from God, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is how do we hear from God? Jesus Christ here said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know it, and they follow me." And how do we hear from God? And you know, today we live in a day where there are more voices than there have ever been. You know, if we were to think back just 100 or 200 years ago, people heard, you know, how many voices in their life? Their parents, few people around them. That's changed now. If you got one of these things in your pocket, and I think most of you probably do, you can get on here and you can hear a lot of voices. And on social media, on the news, on you can listen to anyone from around the world. My goodness, we're even out here at Oak Grove Baptist Church broadcasting ourselves on YouTube and everything else. So it can be done. And those voices that we hear affect how we think and what we do and what we say. And so we got to be careful that we're listening to the right voices in our life. And the question today is how do we know the voice of God versus the voice of strangers? How do we know that we're hearing the voice of God versus we're hearing the voice of the enemy? How do we know those things today? Well, I do want you to know that God does still speak today. Do you know that? Man, can you? Here's just some common sense. Here's a little logic for you today. I think everybody here would probably agree. It stands to reason there's a God. Okay, man. When I look at the universe, I think about gravity. I think about the world that we live in. I've told you before about the watchmaker theory, that a watch is just too is too complex to just happen. Somebody had to make it. That's the same way with our world. It's too complex. Somebody had to make it. So everybody here would say, surely there's a God. And it stands to reason that that God would want to communicate with us. He would want to communicate with us. Now, y'all know that I'm not a big believer in, I call it, and forgive me, but I call it a lot of hocus pocus. Okay? I'm not a big believer in a whole lot of these signs and wonders that people talk about. People have blamed God, said God told them to do this and God told them to do that. And you know, I just don't know about all that. If you tell me that if you tell me that God spoke to you audibly, which some people have told me that, I'm going to tell you, I think you ate some bad Chinese food or something and went to sleep. I don't think God is, I don't think God's speaking to nobody audibly anymore, okay? He's not coming down and doing that. Did he do that before? Yes. He don't do that today. Those days have come and gone. You say, well, can God do that? God can do whatever he wants to. I'm just telling you, he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. I was out here mowing yesterday, and I didn't pass the azalea bush, and it was a burning bush, and God spoke to me out of the burning bush that I was at. It just doesn't happen. And so I think a lot of people look for God to speak to them in a lot of ways that he just doesn't speak anymore. People want some kind of mystical, supernatural experience that I'm just going to be here and tell you today doesn't usually happen. Some of the stuff I'm going to tell you today you ain't going to like to hear because it's not going to give you chill bumps. It's not going to knock your socks off. Might even be something you ain't never heard. But I hear a lot of people say a lot of ignorant things, and I'm here to stamp out ignorance today. If you pray about you know, where to get a job, and you cut the TV on, and it says now hiring Gulf South truck drivers, it don't mean you got to go be a truck driver. That's what some people think. Man, I prayed about a job. I turned the TV on and said, Gulf South, I'm going to go be a truck driver. I want to tell you, that's foolishness and dangerous. I don't look for these signs. Everything ain't a sign and a wonder. So you say, well, how does God speak to us today? I know you're not ready for this, but it's right here. You see, this is God's Word. This is the mind of God. This is His heart. This is what He loves. This is what He thinks. This is what He commands of us. This is what He warns us in. He speaks to us through His Word. Let me give you this. Listen to me. If God spoke to you, and some of you might not even believe it, but if God spoke to you by a special revelation, right? If I came to you today and said, I got a special revelation, and it's just what He said in His Word, then the special revelation was not needed. If you say, God spoke to me and told me I need to forgive my enemies, you know what I tell you? Yeah, I already read that. You're supposed to forgive them. If you said, God spoke to me and said, man, I need to love people that are unlovable, you know what I tell you? Yeah, His Word already said that you need to do. If you say, man, God spoke to me and said, I don't need to steal anymore, well, yeah, I know. God's Word already said it. Now, if that special revelation tells you to do something that doesn't line up with God's Word, then it's not from God. And so God speaks to us today in 2021 primarily through His Word. Notice I said primarily. We're going to get around to some of this spiritual stuff that people love to get caught up in. But can I tell you something? I've been doing this a while now. Dare I say, I'm not a rookie anymore. Okay, I've been doing it a little while. I've been pastoring 15 years. And I have person after person call me, want to see me, and they say, I'm trying to get a word from the Lord. And I say, well, have you read the Bible? No, I'm looking for a word from the Lord. Well, He's given us a word from the Lord. It's 66 books in one volume. And can I tell you something, folks? People that don't want to read their Bible, pray, and go to church, if you think you're going to get a word from the Lord, keep waiting. It just ain't going to happen. People want some kind of magic wand. They want me to sprinkle some kind of fairy dust on them and make them spiritual or speak to them in some kind of spiritual, mystical way, when simply what we need to do is pick up His Bible and read it and do what it says. That's what it is today. That's what it's about. Now, I know if you want to see Jesus appear to you in a night vision, or you're wanting to have dreams and you're wanting to have... here's the thing, and I'm going to get around on it. I just don't trust that stuff. Because you know what I know about me? I know I got problems and I got issues, and I can say, well, I feel... Does anybody feel like something one day and then don't feel like it the next day? Does anybody get up one day and, man, you feel spiritual, and the next day you get up and you don't feel spiritual? And, man, you know, I told you I've been pastoring a long time. And, you know, I remember talking to somebody, no fruit. Hey, their life had nothing to do with Christ. They had no light of God in their life. They never go to church. They never read their Bible. They never do anything for God. And they said, I got saved when I was 13 years old. And they're about 40. They said, I've never doubted it one time. I thought, well, my God, I pastor a church and I doubt my salvation from time to time. I mean, and you say, well, what do you mean? Because I just have issues. And I'm not going to base things on my feelings and my emotions. You know what I base it on? The Word of God. This is tried and tested and proven true. And so if you want to hear from God, now listen, does God speak through creation? Surely. Again, we walk outside and we say, the Bible says the heavens declare His handiwork. It said it speaks to every language on the earth. We go outside and we see creation and it speaks and God uses it to say, there's something bigger out there. I get that, but it lines up with His Word. Does God speak through Christians? Am I not speaking today? Is God not using me to speak to you? Surely, but it's lining up with His Word. Does God speak through circumstances and things that go on in your life? Yes, He does. But it all goes back to His Word. It all hinges on that. And so here's what I suggest you do. If you want to hear from God, if you want to experience God, I would suggest you do this. Pick up this book and start reading it. You know what we try to do here at Oak Grove Baptist Church? We try to make it easy for you. And we put out a reading calendar. Now, and listen, if you don't read the Bible and tell me you want to hear from God, I'm going to say, I don't think so. I don't think so. You don't read the Bible. You can't want to hear from God and not read the Bible, because that's His Word. And so, hey, we put out a reading calendar. You say, I don't know where to start, Brother Derek. And listen, I know a lot of people that have started in Genesis and said, they said, man, I'm going to read from Genesis to Revelation, and I want to tell you there's a lot of dead bodies in Leviticus that didn't make it through. They got to Leviticus and Numbers and bogged down, and the truck never made it through. Just pick up a calendar and read one chapter of God's Word every day. I told somebody this the other day. I said, look, pick up the Bible and read it till something either comforts you or convicts you. And they said, well, that seems like that wouldn't happen. You know, that would happen pretty quick. I said, yeah, it will. Read the Bible till something comforts you or it challenges you or it comforts you or it convicts you. And read the Bible. Study the Bible. You know what the Bible is called, by the way? It's called the sword of the Spirit. And you need to learn how to handle this thing. It's a dangerous, can I tell you, this is a dangerous book. And some people don't know how to handle it. And man, they'll get hurt by it. They'll hurt someone else with it. There's a lot of damage been done with this book, but you need to learn how to handle it and use it. You need to memorize it. You need to pray it. You say, what do you mean? I pray the Bible. I tell God the things that are in the Bible. Can I tell you what I prayed to God many times? I say this to God. I said, God, You said, if I confess my sins, You are faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. I tell Him that. I said, that's what Your Word said. And I'm confessing my sins, and I'm asking You to forgive me from all my unrighteousness, because I know I have much unrighteousness. I pray and I say, God, I'm like the Apostle Paul, and I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwells no good thing. God, You said for me to come and to ask and to seek and to knock, and I can have and I can find, and it can be opened up to me. Pray God's Word back to Him. I would simply say this today, try it, test it. The psalmist said this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Y'all know I'm not an extravagant eater. I like to eat the things I like. And sometimes Laura or somebody will be like, well, try this. And I'll be like, nah, I'm not even going to try it. And that's what a lot of people do in the pews of churches. I say, try reading your Bible. Nah, I'm going to wait for a star from heaven to come down and light on me. Okay, keep waiting. I'm going to wait for a dream or a vision. I'm going to wait for a sign and a wonder. Can I tell you what Jesus said? I didn't say this. Jesus did. He said, a wicked generation seeks after a sign. A wicked generation seeks after a sign. Can you imagine standing before God one day and you had 66 books in one volume that God wrote over 1,500 years for you to have that contained the mind and heart of God, and you get to heaven and say, God, I've been waiting on you to speak to him. And he said, oh, I did speak to you. You just wouldn't ever read the book. He left an instruction manual. You know, I was with somebody the other day, and they were putting a deadbolt in, and they had instructions with the deadbolt, and they had looked at it, and they were doing something, and anyway, he got into it, and something wasn't working right. And I said, why don't you pick up them instructions that you had just a minute ago? Let's see what went wrong. God has left us some instructions that we won't read. Now, I'm like most every man in here. First thing we do when we get something, we throw the instructions away and we just say, hey, we're going to wing it, right? We're just going to wing it. Give me a picture on the front of the box and I'll make it look like that somehow, you know. And that's what we do with our life. We just throw away the instruction book of God's Word and say, hey, we'll wing it. Well, I think we've all seen how winging it gets us. Now, let me say this. This is where we wanted to get to because I know it was coming. What if it's not in His Word? Like this, like again, the Bible doesn't tell you where to work. The Bible doesn't tell you what career to choose. The Bible doesn't tell you what relationships to get into. The Bible doesn't tell you what college to choose. And so there are some things like that. You say, well, I want to know what God thinks for my life on that. Here's what you do. You want to hear from Him? But I'm going to tell you a little secret here in a minute. You pray about it. Just say you got two jobs. Job A, job B. Neither job has anything morally wrong with it. They both pay the same. The benefits are the same. Vacations are the same. So just A and B. And you pray about it and you're not leaning no way, you say, what do I got to do? You got to choose between A or B. You got to choose. And the reason why I hesitate, and I think you ought to hesitate, if you think you're so in tune with God that He told you which job to get, good for you. But let me tell you what not to do. Don't play the blame game with God if the results ain't what you wanted. Because can I tell you what I see in my life and everything I see? I see God's hand in everything. Here's how I view everything in my life. I either win or I learn. Okay? God puts me in something and it might work out. You can't say if it works out, this was God's plan. You know why? John the Baptist got beheaded. They cut his head off. While his head is in the gallows, you know what he didn't say? This must not be God's plan. No, it was. It was. They hung Peter. They crucified him upside down. And Jesus told Peter about it and prophesied about it and said, I'm talking about the death you're going to glorify me in. You know what he didn't say? This must not have been God's will. See, we like to think God's will is always just good things. But sometimes it's bad things. Sometimes it don't work out just how you thought it would. So you can't take a job and then didn't like it and say, oh, I must have missed it. No. No. Maybe He's teaching you something through it. Maybe He brought you here for a reason. And so I think those things are dangerous, but I would just say there's a lot of things that you can choose in. Can I tell you something about relationships real quick? Not that I'm the relationship king or know a lot about them, but I will say this, happiness is a choice. That's what I think. I think you can choose to be happy or you can choose to be miserable, and that's up to you. And I think if two people want to choose to be happy, I think they can be happy. And you might say, oh, I missed my soulmate. My soulmate was somebody in the third grade and we didn't end up getting married and I married somebody else. Well, guess what you need to do? You need to choose to be happy because you chose to marry somebody else. And choose to be happy. So But all this praying, blaming God, I don't know what. Let's just stick to this. By the way, if you'll do this, He'll probably give you some help on the other. But if you won't do this, don't expect much help on the other deal. All right? Now, it says this in verse 4. It said that the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Verse 5 says this, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Here's the other question. How do we hear the voice of God is first? By His Word. I know His Word. You know what my kids know about me? They know things I would say. They know things that I wouldn't say. Right? You could say some things and my kids would say, my daddy said that. That's what my daddy says. They even know sometimes before they ask me what I'm going to say. Right? And there's some things about it you ain't got to pray about because you already know what He's going to say. He already told you. Okay? But you also need to know what He wouldn't say. That don't sound like Him. That's not what he would do, or that's not what He would think. That's not the advice He would give. So how do you know the voice of a stranger? How do you know this is not a voice I need to listen to in my life? Well, let's kind of go back real quick in our minds to the devil in the Garden of Eden, tempting Eve. We could go to the devil tempting Jesus in the wilderness too, but let's just stay with the devil in the Garden of Eden. First thing he did was he told Eve, he said, Eve, didn't God say you could eat of every tree? You know what he did? He left out a part. Yeah, they could eat of every tree, but one. But he said, didn't God say you could eat of every tree? And what the voice of a stranger will do, what the voice of the enemy will do, is he will create doubt in your life, not confidence. He creates doubt, not confidence. What he wanted Eve to start doing was questioning, doubting what God actually said. And when you start doubting what God actually said, you are listening to the voice of a stranger. You know what I've heard people say before? They say, well, God just wants me to be happy. I don't know where you got that from, you know. But what they mean is God wants me to be happy doing whatever I want to do. He wants you to be happy, but he don't want you to be happy doing whatever it is you want to do. And by the way, can I tell you something? God doesn't mind us questioning things as long as we're seeking truth. I find a lot of people in the Bible question God. You know what God did? He gave them answers. He gave them a little more light. He gave them confidence in His Word. And that's what God will do. Can I tell you this? The people you surround yourself in your life, these voices of strangers, if they don't create confidence in you, if they don't create some surety in you, they probably aren't people you need to be around. I know some people that, man, they question everything, they doubt everything, they try to make the waters muddy, they do all this kind of stuff. You don't need them. You need people that bring confidence to your life, that you are confident in the things of God. Now, second thing is, the enemy brings deception and not clarity. You know what he did after he questioned that first thing? And she said, no, we could eat of every tree except for this one. She said, if we eat it or touch it, we're going to die. You know what he said? You will not die. He said, God knows the day you eat this, you'll be like Him. You'll be a God and you'll be like Him. You know what he did? He went straight for a lie. So instead of doubt, now he goes to straight deception, straight lies. And you know what God, the devil, the enemy, the voice of a stranger will do in your life? He will lie to you. He will lie to you about who you are. I told y'all last week there is a difference in guilt and shame. Guilt is I did something. Shame is I am something. God uses guilt to restore. The enemy uses shame to destroy. And what he wants to do is, he'll say, you are not loved. By the way, if you tell me today I'm not loved, can I tell you what I would tell you? You're lying to me. If I say, I'm all alone, you know what I know? That's a lie. And I know that because I know the Word of God. I know what Jesus' voice sounds like. And all he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. So when you say I'm alone, that can't be possible. Does anybody ever hear a little voice in their mind say something like this? What's the use? Just give up. Just quit. Quit trying. Man, we're spinning our wheels. This is a waste of time. I want you to know those are all lies of the enemy. And we need to know the enemy is going to lie. And by the way, again, the millions of voices that we have in our life that are just bombarding us every day, a lot of those things are lies. And we got to be able to decipher them. He'll lie to you about who God is. One thing I know in this world that we live in today is that there's just a lot of misinformation. And the enemy is behind all that. You know what the Bible says? It said that God is not the author of confusion. I think if I were to look at it, our world today, and I was to define it, you know what I would define it as? Is confused. If God's not the author of confusion, who is? The enemy. And he confuses people by lying to them. And then the last thing that the enemy will do, or the stranger will do, that we got to understand, is that he is going to bring deconstruction when God will bring construction. Okay? It is easy to tear down. It's easy to tear down. By the way, I think most of y'all probably be like me. Who's your biggest critic? Who's your biggest enemy? Who's your biggest problem? I'd say I am, right? I can't remember who it was said it, but they said, man, if I could kick the person that gave me the most problems in the rear end, I wouldn't be able to sit down for a week, you know? I am the problem. And, man, I'll beat myself up. And the devil will come in there and he'll just reinforce it. And he'll tear you down. Say, hey, look what you did. He'll bring up triggers in your life. I thought about this the other day. Heard someone say it. I never thought about it till I heard them say it. But, you know, Peter denied the Lord 3 times and then that rooster crowed. And I wonder what went on in Peter's mind every time he heard a rooster crow from then on out. I wonder what the devil did. I think every time he heard a rooster crow, the devil said, oh, remember that? And he'll tear down. What God's Word does, the Bible says, is for our edification, which is our building up. What the voice of the shepherd does, what the voice of God does, is he builds up. You know what I find in the Scriptures? The Bible says this about me. It says that I'm forgiven. The Bible says this about me today. I stand before you today, and the Bible says I'm clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what the truth is about me. The Bible says that I have been set in the heavenlies. I've been set in a royal priesthood. The Bible says about me that I'm loved. The Bible says about me that I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. The Bible says about us that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You see, the Bible and God's Word will build us up. You know what? Man, go back to the book of Joshua. And Joshua was taken over from Moses. This is one of the rare times in human history where you see somebody who took over for the man and did good. You usually don't want to be the guy who takes over for the guy. You want to be the next guy because that guy's going to fail, right? Whoever is the next coach at Alabama after Nick Saban, you don't want to be that guy. You want to be the guy until they fire him. Well, Joshua succeeded in taking the place of Moses, one of the greatest men to ever walk. You know what God told him throughout Joshua chapter 1 He said, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Hey, I'm with you. He said it time and time again. He said, be strong and be very courageous. You know what he didn't say? God didn't come to Joshua and say, you ain't got a chance. We might as well quit. You can't enter the promised land. You can't fill Moses' shoes. You can't do any of that. You're going to fail. What's the use? No, he said, hey, I'm going to be with you. Now be strong and be very courageous. And it's going to go on. You see, God's word, the voice of God, builds up. God is an encourager. That's not to say he doesn't point out our sins, and not to say that there aren't, but he encourages us to go on. I think about the Great Commission where he told us to go into all the world. He said, and lo, I'm with you always. The Bible tells us he hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. He encourages us from beginning to end. He builds up. So if you're listening to a voice that is tearing you down, I want you to know that's not the voice of God. If you listen to one that's building you up and encouraging you and saying, hey, press on, let's go forward, you know what that is? That is the voice of God. And so learn to hear it. Learn to understand it. Learn God's Word. How do we hear the voice of God? Not in a sign and a wonder. It's not in a TV commercial. It's not in a dream. I always tell y'all, I have some wild dreams. I'm not blaming God on them dreams, you know. Anybody else ever have wild dreams, you know? I'm not going to attribute God to that. That's just craziness. How do you hear the voice of God? You pick up this book and read it. And if you want to hear from God, you'll read this book. If you don't, you won't. But then also, as you read it and you begin to know it and you get familiar with it, when you hear the voice of a stranger, you'll say, that's not from God. That doesn't sound like my Heavenly Father. That doesn't sound like the Good Shepherd. That doesn't sound like Jesus. That sounds like something else. We all want to hear from God. And can I tell you how good He is to us? He gave us a book that we can read. We read in Proverbs 8 today, the first four verses said, wisdom cries out in the streets. Says, come unto me and get it. That's what God's doing to you today. He said, it's on the table. Just come and receive it. Come and get all that you want from God's Word. Amen. Won't you stand with us today as we have a time of invitation? I hope that the message spoke to your heart.